Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And I will betroth thee to me for eternity. Yes, I will betroth thee to me in justice and in judgment, and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee to me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know Yehovah. In these words, Yehovah speaks most tenderly and lovingly to his church, that is, to all who respond to his love. Although mankind has not been at all faithful to him, still the Lord says, he will court us. He will even allure us to come to him, and he will betroth us to himself forever. How does the process of betrothal, or being engaged and then married, correspond to regeneration and preparation for heaven? From the time we're born, the Lord is courting us. First, he instills the peaceful, trusting, loving states of little children. These states form the basis and core of our love for him. Then as we grow up, he speaks to us, first through our parents and then directly in his word. He presents himself to us, courts us, promises us everlasting delight, and makes his proposal to us. He seeks our free consent. He will not manipulate or intimidate us in any way, because he wants true love, and true love can only be given freely and rationally. As adults, we give our consent to this marriage when we acknowledge him as our creator. We come to believe in him as our redeemer who came into the world to set us free, and our savior in everyday life who is always with us. Gradually, we realize that without him, everything good and true in our lives would be ruined by selfishness. Even when we have made a covenant with the Lord and determined to follow him, he continues to court us all through our lives, seeking new, closer states of understanding and love, and betrothing us to him anew as we grow spiritually. It's the same way in a marriage. The adventure has just begun with the wedding. The courtship continues, if the couple is willing, leading to ever new states of closeness. We have largely selfish reasons for giving our consent to the Lord at first. We picture heaven in terms of natural world delights going on forever. As long as selfish pleasures are our priority, we are easily led away from the Lord. In Hosea, the church says, "I will go after my lovers, who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink." Jehovah comments, "She did not know that I gave her grain, new wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal." Baal, the Canaanitish idol, stands for selfishness and worldly pleasures. It's the same way with our interest in marriage. Marriage begins with a general interest in the opposite sex. There's a strong appearance that love and emotions come from the body. So with most, if not all, people, there are strong selfish motives among some more idealistic ones in their approach to marriage. The doctrine says these motives lead to a wrongful or illegitimate joining together. We read, "A wrongful conjunction is one which is not made from an affection for marriage, but some other affection, as the affection for beauty or gain or personal rank, and also a conjunction made from lasciviousness or sexual lust." Now, these are motives we share with animals. If those were the only motives for marriage, marriages could not last. The breakdown of marriage today is due to the fact that many people no longer have faith in any higher purposes or hopes for marriage. But the Lord is full of loving kindness and mercies. As far as we are willing, he provides us with ideals in his word. These higher motives are compared to a precious jewel being formed within a matrix of common ore. He makes use of our natural interests to allure us into an honest, upright life. Then gradually he replaces selfish, illegitimate interests with heavenly, spiritual ones, if only we are willing to work with him. This is the purpose of a betrothal worship service before a wedding, and the period of betrothal or engagement before a couple is married. It is an opportunity to establish a legitimate and lovely joining of minds as the basis for their marriage. It is a time for a couple to look to the Lord together as the creator of their love. They can pray that he will lift up their love to him. A man can dedicate his love to his chosen one, his beloved, and so can a woman. Each can rule out any other conjunction to eternity. They can enjoy the sweet delights of opening their minds and hearts deeply to each other in the effort to become more and more of one mind and heart. They are seeking the marriage of their spirits, which is the essence of a marriage, the marriage that survives the death of the body. Conjugal Love number 304 expresses this beautifully. With those who think about marriages from religion, the marriage of the spirit comes first, and that of the body follows. These are the kind of people in whom love rises toward their soul, and then comes down from that height. Their souls separate themselves from the unrestricted love of the other sex and attach themselves to one, with whom they look to an everlasting and eternal union and its growing blessings as things that nourish the hope that is always restoring their minds. There is a similar pattern in regeneration generally, as with every good love and true ideal. We make up our minds to strive as hard as we can for what is right, to live for heaven, for eternity, and not just for a pleasant life on earth. A person might make such a commitment to honesty, for example, or to having patience with his or her children. Committing ourselves to a good life is called justice in the word. When we make such a commitment and follow through with it, the Lord leads us to see more and more clearly what is right and what is wrong, what helps and what hurts in our behavior and attitudes. Seeing clearly what is right and wrong is called judgment, as in the text from Hosea, "I will betroth thee to me in justice and in judgment." This is the betrothal to our relationship with the Lord God. When a person begins from a sincere determination to follow the Lord, then regeneration, the marrying of goodness with truth, can go forward, and new states of innocence and insight can be born. There is still a lot of work to be done, just as in a marriage. We have to keep coming back and renewing our consent, our betrothal, to the Lord and to each other with repentance. Afterward, we have to work on following through with the necessary changes in our attitudes and behavior. It's a continual cycle, from the commitment within to the behavior without, to the lessons learned, and so to a new height of love and commitment. At each stage of marriage and of regeneration, our freely given consent is the key to progress into deeper intimacy and delight. We read, "Consent is the essential of marriage, all that follows being its formalities." In the word everywhere, we can hear the Lord's consent and eagerness to draw us to himself if we are willing. "Yes, I come quickly. Amen." And he waits for our free consent to his proposal. "Yes, come, Lord Jesus." All of us, and men in particular, receive conjugal love according to our conscience from the Word. From the word, we believe that love truly conjugal is possible, a love that keeps growing stronger and more beautiful forever. We hear the Lord saying, "Yes, I come quickly. I am bringing you the promise of love truly conjugal. Amen, it is true." We respond to him, "Yes, come, Lord Jesus," as we seek our Savior's help in shunning adulterous things as sins against him. In proportion to our determination to shun them, we clear the way for the Lord to inspire love truly conjugal. The stronger a couple's marriage grows, the more the Lord can lead them in all other areas of their lives, especially in raising their children and in their daily work, like smaller gems around the central jewel. Conjugal love and religion go together step by step, hand in hand. The Lord is leading each man and each woman into a true marriage, whether in this life or in the next, because in the marriage relationship, he is able to be with us most closely and we with him, and he can bless us more than in any other way. The Lord came into the world when the church had divorced itself from him and was involved in adulterous affairs in belief and life, as it is again today. He came, and he comes again, to draw us back to him, to restore the marriage of justice and judgment in our lives, and to reopen the way to marriages of love truly conjugal. May we respond to the Lord's courtship with joy and gratitude and with determination not to let our natural man hinder the fulfillment of his words. "And I will betroth thee to me for eternity. Yes, I will betroth thee to me in justice and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee to me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know Yehovah." Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.